everyone.
Cuckoo.
Welcome to Eurofile. I'm Catherine Rory.
And I'm Kate Walker.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm good. I'm a little sick.
Just a little bit, but I'm glad you're getting better.
Yeah, I'm all good. I have been catching up on Love Island All Stars.
Love Island babes. Oh, I'm so happy that it's back.
I know. And I was like so pissed because in the US, you normally watch Love Island on Hulu, but
yeah,
they put it on Peacock. Oh,
yes. And I had no idea. So I was like, any day now, it's about to be on Hulu. Any day, why isn't this happening?
Why don't we have more forewarning?
I was Googling every couple ITV? Days, like, when is this happening? I'm waiting for it. And then you were like, oh my God, it's out on Peacock. And I couldn't believe it. And like, we were both behind already. We were like several episodes behind. I had no idea. Anyway, loving it.
So yeah.
Absolutely obsessed.
I've been milking my sickness. Mm-hmm. And just I'm so sick. I need to watch another episode.
Georgia, stay in bed.
Georgia looking looks freaking good.
She is a tyrant.
She is a tyrant, but I would be too if I look like that. So
for sure.
She gives me goals. Whoa, her bangs. Well, they look so good.
Her bod, inspiring.
I know.
She looks so good. So someone who's that good looking, it would be really hard to pick one person. And so I honestly can understand why she's going through all these men, because like someone else could be just around the corner who could also be obsessed with you and you just don't know. She's so toxic, but I understand why.
I feel like she gets along with a lot of people, just like her personality anyway. So I love that we're just diving into this anyway.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed. Yep. I can't stop watching it. Really, really find the fact that Chris looks like Nicolas Cage very disturbing. But
he does. Okay, Love Island aside, are you ready to get into our topic today?
Yes, please.
Okay, great. Well, obviously, it is Black History Month, so I wanted to highlight a Black person in history. You know, obviously, it's not just this month, it's every month, but I wanted to take the time to find out more about someone in history that I didn't know of, that I've heard of, but like haven't had the chance to dive in. So I'm excited to talk about our person today. We're going to France. It's going to be the 18th century. Mm. We're going to talk about Joseph Bologna, also known as the Chevalier de Saint-Georges.
So I never heard of this.
He's come up.
I'm excited.
Randomly.
I love when this happens because, I mean, you know, so we talk about Spice Girls. Like, we're not going like too niche here.
Yes.
You know?
We do it all. You know, we contain multitudes here on this podcast. So let's get into Joseph. I'm just going to call him Joseph, you know, because we're close like that. We're friends. He was a violinist, conductor, composer, and soldier who wrote 6 operas, published 12 violin concertos, 10 symphonies, and 2 sets of string quartets. And on top of this, he was an exceptional fencer, athlete, dancer, and like he was very good looking. So he's like this charismatic.
Oh, Jesus. He
athletic,
is a, like a
hottie
quadruple threat. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like he has it all. And like the elite ladies of Paris loved him. So fun. Like he's like, what a geezer. He's a good bloke. Like we love this guy. And he was a huge influence to his contemporary, a little known Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. He has been very crudely and offensively called Black Mozart, which like, come on, he is his own person. No. His name is Joseph fucking Bologna. Live it, love it, learn it. Like he is his own incredible person.
Joseph Bologna.
Alexander Dumas also based a character from The Three Musketeers on him. I think he was a couple decades after Joseph, but so his renown was known. It was like enough to aspire a character in The Three Musketeers.
Mm. Did you know that Alexander Dumas is also a Black man?
Yes, I did know that. Yeah.
That is so interesting. Like, oh, that's so fun. I hope he was D'Artagnan.
Oh yeah, like the main one, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, this is fun, John Adams, you know, one of the founding fathers and the second president of the United States. And he was one of the only founding fathers who did not believe in slavery.
Oh, my God.
He described Joseph as the most accomplished man in Europe in riding, running, shooting, fencing, dancing, and music in his diary entry from wow. 1779.
Wow. Jane Austen would have been impressed, honestly.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Accomplished.
And like the fact that like he's famous across the pond too, like so cool. So let's talk about him. He was born on Christmas Day, 1745, in Guadeloupe, which was a French colony in the Caribbean. You know, same old story. We have a white plantation owner who was his father, and his mother was an enslaved Senegalese woman called Nanon who worked in the household. Obviously, this man owning human beings is horrible, but he is kind of like surprised me by how well he would end up treating his son and Nanon, the mother. So, yeah. I don't know what to say
about
that. I know,
you're like surprised that anyone was nice at that time. Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
And like this man, he was married and had children of his own. So obviously this is also like he was an illegitimate child. Usually for an illegitimate, you know, especially mixed heritage child, that child would not inherit the aristocratic name of the father, but Joseph did. So, and his dad was like very keen for his son to receive a good education. And when Joseph was 10 years old, he was sent to France to be trained in literature and fencing. And at the age of 13, yeah, he's like, my son's going to be smart.
Gotta go.
He's going to be an athlete. Like, let's get him to the best schools possible. So at the age of 13, Joseph was enrolled in a private fencing academy run by Texier de la Boisie, which I'm doing my best to pronounce. There's also like, I'm just going to roll with all the French pronunciation and French words in this episode because there's a lot and it's fun and I hope I'm saying them right.
Okay.
So run by, again, Texier de la Boisie, and he practiced horse riding in the famous Salle du Meneng. And according to Texier de la Boisie's son, at age 15, Joseph's progress was so rapid that he was already beating the best swordsmen. And at age 17, he developed the greatest speed imaginable. So already he is like becoming well known for his talents. And when he was still a student, he beat a fencing master, Alexander Picard, who had been mocking him as, quote, Boisier's upstart mulatto in public.
Oh,
so,
well,
like,
good for him.
Yes, I know. Joseph was like, fuck you. I'm better than you. Like, you racist garbage.
Yeah.
So love this. And like, this match was like bet on heavily by the public of like, and it was kind of like a symbol of slavery and people either being, you know, against it or for it. And so people were like betting on both sides. And so it was like extra major that he won. And it was like a very public and important episode in his life. And his father rewarded him with a horse and buggy after that. So that's fun. Thanks for the present, Dad. Side note. So when his father, Georges Bologna, died in 1774 in Guadeloupe, Joseph was awarded an annuity of 8,000 francs. So that means like, I was like, what does that mean? So basically he was given 8,000 francs total. That was kind of like parsed out year after year. Of course, like more money and his property went to his legitimate daughter. But then he also gave like an, quote, adequate, don't know what that means really, pension to Nanon, Joseph's mother. So, which
good.
Is like, it's, that was rare,
you should
honestly.
Do that.
And then she remained with Joseph in Paris. Okay. So there is a movie from 2022 called Chevalier.
What?
Yes. And I watched it and that's actually going to be my,
what?
Featuring a very hot man. So they cast very well.
Is it in French?
No, it's in English. And like Minnie Driver is in it. And
my God. Okay, fun.
Some other faces that I recognized. Samara Weaving is in it. I didn't recognize this guy, but he's been in other things. But he's so freaking cute.
Wait, I'm going to look him up.
I already have pictures saved because he is like hot. He smiled and I was so like, cute. Whoa.
It was like Mr. Darcy when you're like, oh, yeah, that caught me a little.
Like in one scene, because he's pretty serious, kind of cocky.
Oh my God. He's very cute.
He's so cute.
He's got like $1 million movie actor smile.
Yeah, he has it. Yeah. Like he has it for sure. He has BDE swag. Like he's got it. Like great casting. But so in the movie, it's obviously dramatized and not necessarily the most accurate. But in the movie, he's not given any inheritance.
It's like you want to go to the History Channel for like facts.
The facts. Yeah.
And this is like, you know.
But it is fun. Vibes. This is so stupid. But like it was fun for me to do all this research and then watch a movie about him, because it's like he goes through some terrible things, obviously.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And it's like you see him like having emotion about these things, and like I was like, oh, I just did all the research on this person and they sound, you know, centuries old or whatever. You have some empathy, but then seeing them go through it in a movie, you're like, oh yeah, wow, I really, really love you. And like seeing him upset about something, you're like, oh, I feel you.
Yeah.
So it's very fun. I would recommend watching it, but take it with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, in the movie, he's given no inheritance at all. And so I was like, okay, well, it's nice to know that in real life, he did get
some,
and his mom too. Yeah. But so after beating that fencing master in 1761 and graduating from the academy in 1766, he was made a gendarme du roi, which is like an officer of the king's bodyguard in Versailles. And he was named a chevalier, which is like equivalent to like a knighthood in England.
Mm. Hence the film title.
Yes, hence the film title. So like he was called, his title was Chevalier de Saint-Georges, because that was his father's last name.
Okay.
That is rare, because given France's code noir of the time, it prohibited people from African ancestry to have a title. But the king gave it to him anyway.
We talked about the code noir when I talked about the Tignon Laws.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. Wow. Yep. So in same Louisiana. Era.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Very little is known actually about his musical training, which is odd because that's like what he's most remembered for, is his musical talents. But there was a man named François Joseph Gossec, who is one of France's most prominent conductors. He founded the Concert des Amateurs in 1769, and he invited Joseph to join its orchestra as the first violinist and later as like the concertmaster. And nice. Joseph's first composition, Opus Une, which he composed in 1770-1771, was a set of 6-string quartets, which was among the first in France to be published by famed French publisher, composer, and teacher Antoine Baillieu. And it was like heavily inspired by Haydn. So that was, he drew a lot of inspiration from Haydn.
Hmm.
But just like the leaps and bounds that he made in his lifetime in society, is just amazing. And in society, like he really was adored. But not everything was easy, obviously, which we'll get to later.
Mm-hmm.
And in 1772, Joseph debuted as a soloist for the Concert des Amateurs, and he played the first 2 violin concertos of his own composition, Opus 2. And Gossec, who kind of like appointed him to the Concert des Amateurs, like led the orchestra. And now he's like very much on the map, getting very highly rated. Everyone's talking about him. But in particular, like they appreciated his music and composition, but it was his performance that they really loved, like his like personality. And quote, he enraptured especially the feminine members of the audience.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
He was probably so cocky, I'm imagining, but like in a hot way. He like when someone is really that good at everything, like you can be like that. And like it's not annoying, you know?
Yeah, this is a really dumb aside, but this week I watched Barry Keoghan's Hot Ones.
Okay. I haven't watched it yet.
Okay. He obviously, you know, the guy, the host, I forget his name. He
whatever his name
was
is.
Asking whatever his name is. He was asking him about like, oh, do your scenes ever get cut? Like, I know that happens a lot. And like, you put a lot of effort into your work and your scenes. And like, does that ever happen to you? And Barry's like, no, it doesn't really happen to me. They actually wish they had more scenes.
I love it. Yeah, same energy, probably.
Energy. Well, I don't know if it's the same, but it's just funny. Like,
yeah. So as a fun aside, as a composer, he specialized in a new style in which two soloists would battle each other. So like violin battle.
He loved a duel.
Yeah, he really did, no matter what.
It's the fencing in him.
And in the movie, the opening scene is he is dueling Mozart, which did not happen in real life, but it's very fun.
Oh my God.
Nonetheless.
I mean, that is a artistic liberty.
Yeah.
Take it.
that I wish happened. Yeah. And like I said, like by the mid 1770s, he is very well known in Paris. Mm-hmm. And one publication called him the best composer and musician of the kingdom.
Oh, so, wow. What him. Accolades. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the French, they're not giving those accolades
lightly.
Out. Lightly.
Mm-mm. So now he's like running with elite circles. And like, we're going to talk about later, like he knew Marie Antoinette and would like hang with her.
Oh my God.
But there is a little drama that happened too. So, okay, we have this is like a rumor that is heavily shown in the film. So I don't know, who knows if this is true or not, but there's a rumor that he fathered a child with a French aristocratic woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the child then later disappeared. It was rumored that the woman's husband killed the child.
Oh, geez.
Because of his skin color.
Right. Oh my God. Okay.
And then in the movie, when this happens, it is so horrible. Like, mm-hmm. I, like, wanted to cry seeing this happen. Just, like, the heartbreak and trauma that he might have gone through. Like, you know, it's just a rumor. Who knows? But still very sad to see.
There was enough evidence of rumors to put it in a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Despite his popularity and talent, he still experienced overt racism.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1775, the Academie Royale de Musique needed a new director. And this is like the country's most prominent musical position.
Mm-hmm.
And he was invited to like apply. You have to be like invited to.
Right.
To even be considered. Not anyone can just go for it. Yeah. Uh-huh. Before he could even apply, a group of musicians who would be playing in this orchestra like banded together and wrote a petition to Marie Antoinette saying that they would not accept orders from a quote mulatto. So he was never even given the opportunity.
Even though he's like was requested to apply.
Yes.
That is so interesting. I mean, it's not interesting at all. Honestly,
yeah, it's
that's wild.
So fucking predictable when he is literally has been called the best musician in the kingdom. Like, come on, he should have just been handed that directorship, let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
So following this, Marie Antoinette kind of, you know, she can't upset the people. So she had to go along with that.
She's already towing the line.
Someone else was named. I know. Yeah.
Not a
be
good
careful
time.
About what you do, babe. Things are going to get nasty for you.
Yeah.
Maybe you should have been nicer.
Yeah.
But so she kind of like started drawing in the people, like musicians and people that she wanted in her circle, and started just like hosting her own music events in her, you know, petit appartement in Versailles.
Uh-huh.
And I think they had like their own private theater. Like, I think it was like Théâtre de la Royale or like de la Reine in the Gardens of Versailles.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was just like limited audience of like her closest circle and musicians, including
the best of the best,
including Joseph. And she also received private music lessons from him. So
imagine.
like
that's
wow.
So wild. Yeah.
Like you can't get higher than that.
Yeah.
The queen of France.
Yeah.
However, like they were tight, but they weren't that tight. So again, she was like towing the line here. So Ernestine was his first opera, and it was performed on July 19th, 1777 at the Comédie Italienne. It did not survive its premiere. So Whoa. The critics liked the music, but hated the weak libretto performer. And that kind of was like the make or break at the time. Like, it's kind of crazy to me. It's like, okay, let's just get another That's performer not, yeah. and like continue on. But like, that was fault. Enough. Yeah. That was enough to like get it panned.
Yeah. And I feel like audiences are so harsh.
Yes.
When it comes, yeah. In like Italy and France.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. And you can't really bounce back from that.
No.
but the queen came to support him. And
yeah, it's kind of wild. It never, like, even with her support.
Yeah. But there was a scene in it where a character was like cracking his whip and crying, oe, oe. I don't know. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. And the queen kind of like gave the final blow of the performance by calling to her driver, to Versailles, away, away. So it was like a joke. Like, oh, come on. Oh, did you have like to do that? Bad. Yeah. Yeah. Like kind of poking fun at it. It's like, yeah, come on. But she also would attend some of Joseph's concerts at the Hotel des Soubises. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But she would arrive sometimes without notice. So the orchestra had to wear court attire for all performances. So like,
just in case.
Yeah, in case she would show up. So like embroidered suits, lace cuffs, swords by their sides, and like feathered hats.
I hate that I would be that kind of regent. Like I would just be like, good. I don't need a schedule. I'm mm-hmm. just going to go where I want. And it inconveniences everyone.
Yeah. So, but like, even if she didn't show up, it was still like a sight to behold because it was like not only an incredible orchestra, but they like looked so regal and fine. Yeah. So I just like, and like lavish.
Yeah.
So he did take a trip to London in spring of 1787, and he stayed with fencing masters Domenico Angelo and his son Henry.
Mm-hmm. These like, random professions that he does. Yeah.
Like, let's not forget, I'm a fencing master also. And
did you forget
that I'm good at everything?
Yeah.
Domenico Angelo and his son Henry arranged exhibition matches for him, so like people could pay to attend to witness him fence. Mm-hmm. And one of them was at Carlton House, which was performed for the Prince of Wales. And the Prince of Wales matched Joseph with several renowned fencing masters, including a very interesting character, Le Chevalier Dion, who was a trans woman who like attended this match in like a very voluminous black dress. And there's a painting of this that I'll post. In the painting, you can see the Chevalier Dion like score a hit on Joseph. And it was kind of like, rumors were spread that Joseph let Chevalier Dion win because she was a woman. So it was like being like nice to the lady and letting her win.
Manners. So,
yeah, it's just like so sweet.
Courtly manners.
Yes. And this trip kind of shaped Joseph's thinking on race and gender roles, which love that. So let's talk about Mozart. Because, like, did he steal a work or two
Wolfgang,
from Joseph?
What did he do?
In 1778, Mozart traveled to Paris, staying from March to September and briefly under the same roof as Joseph, which was, like, this man named Count Sickingen's house. Don't know why Joseph was staying there, whatever. They're both staying with this count. And so obviously they're staying in the same house. It's highly plausible that Mozart was exposed to Joseph's music. And so Mozart returned to Austria and wrote his Symphony Concertante in E flat, which has remarkable similarities to an excerpt from Joseph's Violin Concerto, Opus 7, which was written 1 year earlier. So in this sequence,
the tea?
I know.
The tea
is hot. Joseph's work that kind of influenced Mozart. It's like this really difficult sequence of climbing to like the highest register of the violin and then immediately like dramatically dips. And that had never been in Mozart's work until this, until Amen. Like a year after. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously, I don't want to say he was copying, but like heavily influenced by this incredible musician.
Yeah.
Like, still, maybe slightly dubious. Who knows?
I'd say probably dubious, but
yeah.
And then I feel like men are just guilty until they're proven innocent. Let's just do that.
That's true. Yes. In 1779, Joseph was assaulted by six men in Paris in an attack that could have killed him. And this prevented him from taking up his post at the opera. Not sure why this happened, but in the film...
The opera thugs.
The opera thugs. Yeah. Haters.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure he had many.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because he was too good at everything. But in the movie, it's kind of shown that it was the husband of the woman who he had an affair with. So who knows? It could be anyone. He probably had a lot of enemies, to be honest. Like, so instead, he turned to social change and started championing the abolitionist movement. So here is his era as a revolutionary. So in 1789, when the French Revolution broke out, it's no surprise that he became a captain in the National Guard and was a colonel of his own regiment, which included mostly black men. And as the revolution became more and more radical, he was actually thrown in jail for 18 months. Kind of like history got a little fuzzy for me here because he, of course, was like tight with the royals and was given like a knighthood by them and like a title. But then so he was like arrested for being both close to them and then was later on arrested for being an abolitionist. Like he couldn't win. Like you just being accused from both sides.
Yeah.
And then towards
it's like
the
he's
end
trying to play that their game that his dad put him in, essentially.
Yeah. And like what else could he have done? You know, he was a talented person like in the spotlight. Like it's bound to happen.
To
but then
it
he
work.
Also has his own morals that he decided to stand up for. So he like, couldn't make anyone happy, basically. And towards the end of his life, he ended up living in abject poverty, you know, not completely poor, but like living quite modestly compared to his once like lavish lifestyle, you know, in the same circles as Marie Antoinette. And he kind of went back to his music and he wrote, "Towards the end of my life, I was particularly devoted to my violin. Never before did I play it so well." So that just like is very sweet and made me happy to hear. And he passed away in 1799 after an ulcer in his leg turned gangrenous.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
He, ick and painful. He was very modest and like, I think was very quiet about his suffering. So people didn't really know that
he's
he
a
was that
Capricorn.
Ill.
And no wonder he's the hardest worker you've ever met. Suffering in silence.
That's so true.
About his bag.
And about being the best, creme de la creme. But get this, so shortly after his death, Napoleon, as we know, seized power in France and reinstated slavery in the French colonies. So it's just like, oh fuck.
Common
and then,
Napoleon L.
And the people of Guadeloupe resisted, and around 6,000 of them were killed. And Napoleon also banned Joseph's music in an attempt to erase him from history.
Like, oh my God.
I know, just terrible. And Afro-Caribbean communities, both in France and Guadeloupe, have worked tirelessly to make sure that his memory is remembered. And I'm so glad they have, because otherwise
We wouldn't know.
We would not know about this man. So that is the story of Joseph Bologna, the Chevalier de Saint-Georges.
Wow.
Amazing, right?
Brava. That was
Brava.
So interesting. And I had never heard of that. Now I want to listen to something.
Yes, I know.
His.
Yeah. Again, I just want to recommend Chevalier, the film from 2022. It was just so fun. You know, take it with a grain of salt, but like, it was a fun ride.
I'm definitely going to have to watch that. I saw that it was on Hulu.
Yes,
so
yeah,
I'm gonna have
it's
to watch
easily
that.
Available. Yeah,
he's cute.
So
he's real
so
cute.
cute. Like,
and you know
watch it for
that
that.
Is the main reason.
Yeah, literally at one point when he smiles, I was like, super
like your
adorable.
Heart catches a little bit.
obviously we go into these episodes, I'll go into the mini topic, but obviously we go into these episodes not knowing anything that we're going to be discussing of each other's topics, yes. Right?
Yeah.
So we are veering towards a weird place, and that's all I'm going to say, okay?
Okay, tell me.
Okay, so have you ever heard of Ortolan?
No.
Ortolan. Okay.
Ortolan, no.
This is okay. I want to say trigger warning if you're uneasy about meat and food,
okay,
and animal cruelty, just don't listen. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. So there is a dish that is in France, and it is very controversial, and it is ortolan. So ortolan is a bird, is, you know, just like a little cute little bird.
I not know big, where this is going now, I think.
And the practice of eating ortolan is, you know, goes back to ancient Romans, and they were living in the south of France, and they would breed these birds to call and attract ortolan into their traps. So they would breed birds to trap these specific migratory birds into their traps.
Wow. Okay.
They could eat them.
Yeah.
I don't know necessarily ancient ways of preparation, but in modern preparations, so the small bird is caught at night. It has to be at night during their migratory period.
Oh.
And then they're kept covered in cages. For some reason, I don't know why, but the dark encourages them to eat. They don't stop eating if they're in the dark. I guess they're just nocturnal. And so they would eat, you know, grains and figs and that sort of thing. And they would almost get to twice the size of what they were originally when they were caught. T-dub. Trigger warning.
I'm scared.
Okay. They're thrown in a container of Armagnac liquor where they are drowned and marinated.
Oh,
this is why it's like
God.
Contentious, because it's cruel, honestly.
See, needlessly cruel.
So they're roasted for 8 minutes, and then apparently they sing. I don't know what that means. They're obviously not alive, so
yeah.
I don't know what that means. And the way you're supposed to eat it, which is if you've seen Succession.
Yeah, yeah. That's
and in Billions,
where I thought this was going.
There's a lot of references towards this. People in movies and shows that are wealthy make references to this. But you're supposed to put a napkin over your head while you eat it. And
is it too gruesome?
No, maybe. And you pick up the whole bird. It's not that big. Like, it's like, you know, maybe my palm size, you know, not Matthew McFadden's hand.
Giant
palm
ass
size.
Palm.
Yeah. You make sure your towel is covering your face and everything so it can't be exposed. And you eat it feet first, and you do not eat the beak. So you try to put everything in your mouth if you can. And people who love eating this say that the crunch of the bone and like hot fat and the flavors of the Armagnac, and I guess it's a delicacy that people love, obviously. And we hear about it in these wealthy circles because it is illegal to eat these birds anymore.
Oh, I did not know that. Okay.
But obviously, if you have enough money, you can do anything. You can do anything you want. Like I said, you cover your head with a napkin. So basically it's like, they say it's because, I don't know if it's shame necessarily, but it's like to protect their sins from God. So they don't show God their sins, which that was
God
your
sees all, I thought.
Yes, if that was your thought process, you could just, you know, have sex with anyone underneath a sheet.
Yeah, and God
like,
won't see.
What is that?
Yeah.
Okay. He has no idea. He has no idea what's going on in that bed. And then the second reasoning is to make the experience more enjoyable. Apparently, it's to inhale the rich aromas of this like fatty bird with, you know, Armagnac. Yeah. And obviously the last is decorum, because it's not the cutest way to eat something is eating bones of a bird and
yeah,
feet.
Shoving a whole bird in your mouth.
Yeah, if you can. And obviously it's outlawed today, but they said that in 1999, the population dropped 40%. So they were like, we need to ban this.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading like what chefs think, and Alain Ducasse, which obviously he's, you know, a big like Michelin starred, like one of the most famous chefs in France. He wants to put this back on the menu, and he doesn't agree that, you know, it's because of population. And maybe the population has, you know, significantly
like increased since then.
Yeah, like increased since then. But yeah, there's a, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know why. Maybe it was the population, but it's just like, seems very cruel to eat anything like drowning. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Does not seem.
I mean, it's on par with me with like putting a lobster in boiling hot water. Like, why do that when you could?
That's kind of true.
When you can just
do something
there's
else.
There's kinder ways
there's
to do it.
There's other techniques, yeah.
And then you can still enjoy the food afterwards. Like, why torture something?
Yeah.
Like, if I were to ever make lobster myself, I would be humane about it. Like, it's just the humane issue.
And maybe it's the, like, fattening up, too. It's like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. I have no intention of finding out because, honestly, chicken and birds and stuff, that's really
a bridge.
Weird.
Yeah. It's a bridge too far for me. I don't need to do that. No. I don't want to do that.
And I don't want to eat bones, so.
Exactly. Like,
anything.
And I don't want to shove all that into my mouth. Like,
no,
I would like a small piece of, you know, I can do chicken. I eat chicken. That doesn't bother me. That's cool. Yeah. Can manage that.
But an ortolan, it's too. It's just this thing that's this huge faux pas.
Yeah.
That it's, you know, people seek it out obviously on the black market, and they can, you know, sell up to 200 euro a bird, and they're tiny. There's
is
no
it that
meat,
like is
no
it that meat. Good. Or is it just to be pretentious?
I think it's just to be, you know, to have
and
the
rich.
Experience.
Yeah.
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 Ugh. Yeah. I mean,
gross.
200 euro, that's in a scheme of things. That's nothing to people, you know,
who are that wealthy. Yeah. You can buy 50 of those.
And they
have
estimate.
A nice dinner.
Right. And they estimate that 30,000 birds are still eaten like per year.
Who is eating this?
Black market ortolan.
Who and why? Just that's too much for me. Sorry, don't need to do that. But thank you for sharing, because like, whoa.
I know the pictures are, it literally looks like they're in a cult, but like with their
napkins over their heads.
And it's like, is this like a girly, you know, Girls Night In, like masking and steaming
in
your face?
Late dinner?
No.
God.
But
gross.
Yeah, so that was my very giant deviation from your topic.
Well, you know, it's the wealthy. Crazy
That's
stuff
true.
That wealthy can do. Wealthy people can do. You know, whether it be 300 years ago or now. I'm sure Marie Antoinette ate that. Sounds like she would.
Oh, you know, probably.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Ancient Rome.
Mm-hmm.
Ancient Romans living in the south of France.
Yeah.
That's wild.
I already shared my recommendation. So Chevalier. So everyone go watch it. It was very fun.
I am going to go watch that. Like as soon as I finish Love Island, catching up.
What's your rec for me?
Well, so I'm not done, but I stay shocked listening to this freaking audiobook. It's Manacled by Sun Lin Yu, and it's Harry Potter fanfic.
And I never heard about this until you told me about it. So, it's this whole thing that I've missed, apparently. But,
it's
like,
because
hilarious.
On TikTok, or BookTok, I should say. On
BookTok.
There are people reacting to, you know, doing the, like, this is me before reading Manacled. This is me after.
Yeah.
And they are crying, but it's more just like, I'm devastated. Like, this was such a wild ride. And I was like, you know, I'll listen to it. Why not? It's on Spotify and it's recorded like a podcast. So you can, listen to it. Yeah. As much as you want. And I would say if you're very triggered by SA or you don't like Handmaid's Tale, I would not recommend that. I didn't know when I started it because I hate Handmaid's Tale, but I'm in too deep.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, then I'll just rely on you to tell me all the juicy weirdness.
There's a lot of rape happening.
Oh,
not good. It's very much Handmaid's Tale, but magical. So it's almost, I wouldn't say it's worse. It's just all bad, but it's creative in how fucked up it can get. I will say that.
Can you give a 2-sentence synopsis for anyone who may not know? Because isn't it like if Voldemort went one?
Oh, yes. Sorry. It's as if, you know, Harry and the Order of the Phoenix didn't win. Harry dies. Ron dies. Everybody dies.
No, so
sad. The only person who is around is Hermione and obviously Draco because he's, you know.
Was baddie-ish.
A baddie. I don't know how I'm going to like him, but it's wild.
Okay.
But it's apparently a romance between them.
I want you to give me the highlights because I don't know if I can handle it.
I want to keep
the memory of Harry Potter exactly as I have it.
I hate this because now I'm like, Harry's dead. Dumbledore's dead. Apparently Snape is still alive, which, okay,
that's nice.
That's good. I mean, I don't know.
At what cost? I would rather have it be the way
he's not like the way that you think in the movie.
Oh, okay.
He's evil.
In the book.
So, yeah. Or in this audiobook. But I think it's like, I've never read any fanfic before. And I was like, you know, I feel like comfortable enough with, you know, the canon of Harry Potter. And so I was like, oh, why not? It's kind of fun. And like, obviously, I would love to keep reading my, you know, what's ACOTAR, but I just don't have it in me. I can't. Yeah. So I wanted some other like dumb fantasy that I could
totally get
into. But it's not giving this. It's not a replacement for that. It's something completely different. But it's pretty good. I would say like if you can handle, you know, triggering subjects. But I think that the way people talk about it, they're like, wow, this was very well written, very very interesting subject. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I will plan on you for filling me in all the details offline.
Thank you. I will. Okay. So I will end us with the word of the day.
Okay.
Okay. I'm so sorry. I'm going to try and say it, but with my obviously stuffy nose and just general lack of French proficiency.
Hey, heard that. You heard me saying everything I said today. I did the best I could. All right.
You did the best you could with what you had. Yeah. And the word is yaourté.
I'm not even going to try. Yaourté. One more time. Yaourté.
It's like yaourté. Yaourté.
Yaourté.
And it means, or you can say chanté en yaourt, which means to yogurt.
Oh, to yogurt.
And I do this all of the time. So the expression is used for someone trying to sing in a foreign language and you get the words wrong.
That's so good. That's so good.
You're just kind of saying sounds similar, you know. I do reggaeton. Are you kidding? I don't know what they're saying, you know.
No.
Like they're making up slang. I've like learned Spanish from my roommates 10 years ago, you know. It's like it's just language skills are not up to par.
Yeah, or like so a Rosalía song.
Oh,
she makes
sure.
It quadruply hard. Like,
yeah,
but it's so fun. You can't help but
I don't know
along.
Spanish slang.
Oh,
don't
no,
know it.
Absolutely not. And she's going so fast, but I'm gonna sing along because like I'm vibing. Aya Nakamura, same thing.
I'm gonna make similar noises
with
my mouth
and vibe out.
Words? No. I don't know.
Don't know.
I don't
Je
know.
Je ne sais pas.
But yeah, so you can
love that. Love that. That is so applicable. Oh, good one. Thank you everyone for tuning in. We hope you love this episode. We hope you learned something new.
I'm
like
about to
I
go
did.
Watch that movie and listen to two of his concertos.
Yes, me too. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Merci.